podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Not nearly enough.
Spiritually fit.
Yeah.
Before talking about Hollywood.
Not nearly enough. He hims in that prayer for me.
Are you even doing this, Ted? Like, come on. Welcome back to a podcast greater than yourself. I am Jane, here with sitting Senator Ted C.
Hello.
And today we have John Barleycorn here to talk in defense of...
What up? I'm working on catchphrases.
No.
Keep workshopping it.
That was a clunker. Not good. Yeah, I'm here to speak in defense of Holly Whitaker.
Okay.
Are you going to put some sort of a sound effect in there? Because I feel like that's going to... There's something so disjointed and discombobulating about hearing you use those words in that order.
Why? Really? Why?
Just to hear you say those five words.
Is it five? In now you're doing what Hampy was doing yesterday. He was like, he was like reading this line from Living Sober, and then he was like, "Well, I guess yeah, you know that sentence is right, except for the last five words, the last seven words of that." I'm like, you don't. That's cool. We get it. You can kind of speak generally. Yes, thank you. I'm the guest. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, take it away.
Take it away. Just immediately pawn it off on me. Cool. Short and sweet intro. Firstly, I want to thank you guys for inviting me on the show. No, okay, so I am here today to speak as unironically as possible in defense of Holly Whitaker. For anyone who doesn't know who Holly Whitaker is, where have you been, dude? Right?
Right.
Okay. Anyway. I don't know if the term punching bag is accurate. It is, right? It is. Holly's been the punching bag for, or at least the punchline, quite a few memes that I personally have made. Certainly some one-offs, some quips, some one-liners, some jabs on the podcast over the years. It's weird to be able to say over the years and have it not be hyperbole. We've been doing this for a while.
Making fun of Holly Whitaker, you mean?
Yes. and yeah, I mean, I think that, yes, you know, because she was someone who came to the forefront of like popular culture recovery discussion. You know, before we started the show, before probably right around the time the Dr. Silkworth meme page was started. She's definitely not someone who shies away from, making herself the center of attention. So it's kind of like, I'm trying to remain on the side of defending her here. So it's kind of like, yeah, you know, that kind of lends itself to, you know, you jump into the spotlight, you're going to have some light on you kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So what I would like to discuss are a few of the points that she makes, the angles that she seems to be coming from things I've read that she's written, from interviews I've read that she's done, and from podcasts that I've heard her on, of which there's no shortage. So if the casual listener would like to maybe arm themselves with some of the stuff that I'm going to reference but not do a deep dive on, feel free to pause, bloop, and come back. I think you could just Google and you'll come up with any chunk of stuff, right?
I did that an hour before we started today. And I found a lot.
That's why you were right on time, not a little early. You're busy doing the research.
That's why I invited you to co-host, because I knew you were going to be thorough in your research on this topic. So I appreciate that.
This is the dual research assistant co-hosts here. This is intimidating. So I'm going to be probably woefully unprepared in the way of research versus, you know, your Janes. But I have spent the last several years being relatively incapable of not absorbing by osmosis Holly Whitaker's personality, her opinions, her beliefs about recovery, and specifically her ideas about Alcoholics Anonymous and its effectiveness, particularly for women, right? So, with that in mind, here we go. I'm going to just kind of do a little glossary, a little table of contents here, right? First thing, AA only works for men.
So it's too bad for me.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'll die.
I'm sorry, are you not a man? Fuck, I fucked up.
It was nice meeting you guys.
Thanks a lot, Jane. It was great to see you.
Okay. Right, okay, so patriarchy, etc./AA only works for straight, white, cisgender men. Okay. Point number two. AA is about giving up power. And the idea that losing your power and that not having power is the solution to alcoholism. Idea number three. Men need ego deflation. Women do not. Okay. Number four. Alcoholics Anonymous is old and outdated. Okay. Number five. AA.
Are you waiting for one of us to disagree with you, Tom?
No. No, I'm summarizing my points. Or I'm summarizing Holly's points that I agree with. Number five. AA is a formalized, institutionalized system of blaming the sick person. Number six. There is no such thing as alcoholism. And then number seven is less of a point and more just speaking to her experience. And that's going to kind of summarize why I agree with her on the first 6 points. Okay? So, according to Holly Whitaker, the looks on your faces are just killing me. Okay. So I'm not joking. I'm not trying to make light here. I agree with all of this. The reason that I agree with all this is because point seven, according to Holly Whitaker, Holly Whitaker's experience with Alcoholics Anonymous is going to a few meetings for 30 days or so, I think it was. I would say objectively being like treated quite poorly by people at meetings, right? never doing the 12 steps. And third, and I think equal component, being presented all AA-approved literature as equal import to the first 164 pages of the big book, right? So, my thesis here, my reasoning for agreeing with her is that she's right about Alcoholics Anonymous with all these things, because what she believes Alcoholics Anonymous is the meetings and the people that you meet at meetings and the things that people say at meetings and the way people treat each other at meetings and the homespun aphorism wisdom that's handed down at meetings, right? So, were I to be a person who knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous, which this is by her own words, she was, right? And I were to show up at AA, as we've talked about many times on this show, desperate for some kind of solution to change my life, right? And people were to immediately say, you have a huge ego and you need to let that go because you think you're the center of the universe and that you need to tell everyone how everything's run, just like these straight white cisgender men from the 30s. You're the same as them, right? Because you drink too much. I would be like, well, that doesn't really sound like me. Right. And this is even just me. Like, I'm not a straight cis guy, right? Okay. That's weird. That's a weird reasoning, right? I'm not those guys, okay? Because I'm not being given any other qualifying information about these people. I'm just being told who they were, that they are important, that they wrote this book, and that they needed ego deflation. Okay, cool. So right there, I'm out on that one. I'm told, now again, I've never done the directions in this book, but I'm told that this book is written in the 30s, and I'm told that it is a comprehensive, if not the only, mode to recover from alcoholism, right? Right there, I'm out. I'm immediately out. When I got sober, I'm like this snooty atheist intellectual asshole who like really doesn't want to be told what to do. I certainly don't want to be talked down to. And there's probably nothing in my life at that point that I would point to where I'd be like, that thing is found in a book written 60 years before I was born, and I don't need to look any further. I'm done, right? Immediately, I'm done, right? So I'm out on that one. Okay. When I fail to stop drinking by showing up to meetings and talking about my feelings and stuff and listening to other people kvetch or whatever, when I fail to stop drinking and I drink again and I come back and you blame me, you say that I wasn't committed enough, you say that I didn't go to enough meetings, you say that I didn't call enough people, and you look for some reason in me that's faulty, when, again, I wasn't given directions for a program of recovery, you blame me, immediately I'm out. Immediately I'm out. It's my fault that I'm drinking, right? Okay.
Right.
So, when you tell me that I have to accept that I have no power, and it's presented in meetings that I have to admit defeat, lack of power, that's my solution, right? My solution is, oh, you're just not in charge. You just can't do it. You're powerless, right? Let's deny your agency over everything. You're too fucking crazy to think for yourself, apparently, right? No agency, no freedom of thought, like no ability to move throughout the world sanely and competently. You're basically a three-year-old. That's what I'm being told by other adults. Immediately, I'm fucking out. Immediately, I'm out. I'm a functioning adult. I'm a grown-up. I just drink too much, and I don't want to drink, right? Okay, so I'm out on that one. Next to last is this idea of ego, right? That you've got an ego problem where you think you're the center of the universe, and your selfishness means that you do anything in everything that you do just for yourself. Immediately, I'm out. That's not explaining selfishness to me in a way that makes any sense with how I've lived my life, especially as an unrecovered person. My thinking when I came to AA was that the world was out to get me or fuck me over, or the world was incapable of helping me. And like, that is a form of selfishness, I know now. But I did not relate to the external world in the way of, I'm the boss of all things, I'm the center of all things, I'm this big, cool, awesome dude. That's not how I saw the world. So if you're telling me that the problem of alcoholism is about being Johnny Cool Nuts super guy, immediately I'm out. I don't fucking think of myself that way. I don't hang out with people who think that way, right? I'm not fucking right. Boss hogging, throwing my dick around every time I walk in a room, right? So I'm out. Lastly, there's no such thing as alcoholism, right? This is her last point, right? So when I go to a meeting and I'm new and I don't know anything, right? And this whole fellowship has this fucking mishmash of different like diagnostic approaches, where it could be if you're not blacking out and shitting yourself on the way to work, you're not an alcoholic, right? But it also could be, I haven't had a drink in 20 years, but I ate too many fucking chocolate potato chips last night before bed because of my alcoholism. Or it could be, I screamed at my kid, you know, I'm just like a failure as an alcoholic, right? You know, it's just my alcoholic thinking. There is no such thing as alcoholism. Because I show up in this fucking fellowship and I get presented this kooky, mamby-pamby, confusing amalgamation of like different personality defects, right? As alcoholism. So if I'm presented that big like ball of yarn, what else am I to think other than like, well, that doesn't really sound like a specific diagnosable condition. It sounds like you guys are all just fucking losers who are just trying to make each other feel better. So immediately I'm out, right?
Right.
So if my attendance at AA was just going to some meetings and hearing all that stuff, and that's what I was given, and I will tell you, probably 95% of the times I've gone to meetings, it's stuff like that. I would say most of the shit I hear is that. Unless I am going to specifically a place where I'm like carrying the message with other people, treatment place, whatever, newcomer meeting where I know other people are talking about the message. If I just walk into any given fucking AA meeting, I'm hearing exactly all the stuff that I just said and any kind of mixture of it, right? So I do not think that she's wrong about any of that. What I do think is that she doesn't know what AA is.
Yeah.
So my defense of her is like defending the defense that you would give like your dog for, you know, mauling a squirrel to death in the backyard. You know, it's just like, I would rather that not have happened. But this is a fucking dog, dude. You know what I mean? Like, what would I have done if I was a dog and a squirrel ran in front of me? That's a delicious snack that presents a challenge. Like, let's do it, right? And I know this is kind of like tongue in cheek, but when I was listening to her recently on that episode 4 of the 13th Step podcast, it reminded me a lot of all the stuff that I've heard and read from her over the years. And I really genuinely felt sorry for her, because usually my focus with her is like, you're this person who doesn't know what AA is and admittedly did not try AA. And from what you're saying, it doesn't sound like you needed to. So I'm fine with that, as always, because I'm not one of these people that you met at a few meetings that you went to who's going to tell you you have to do this or die, right? So when I see her entire publicity strategy be fuck Alcoholics Anonymous and that won't work for women and all this shit, in the past I've really been in a place of like, what kind of loser are you that ginning up hatred for a free social program that is like self-starting and self-funded and all that shit, right? That at the basis of what it actually is this beautiful path to freedom that's just given to anyone and, you know, it's individual to each of them. Like, what kind of loser are you? Like, how dare you build your entire for-profit recovery grift around shitting on that thing? But when I heard her on the 13 Step podcast, what resonated with me was like, this person's not talking about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're talking about the trauma that people experience when they seek help and are greeted with all of the bullshit that I just listed. And as someone who's experienced that firsthand, it just made me feel sad for her, you know, because her response to that has been to build this PR campaign of angry condemnation to bolster her recovery grift, right? And to fucking sell books and memberships to her $1,500 a year program. And like, hey, nice, you know, nice work if you can get it, right? But like, it's such a missed opportunity for me, in my thinking, for someone who clearly doesn't mind, you know, going on the rounds of media, right? And who, you know, has some, I guess, aptitude at like speaking publicly, right? What a missed opportunity for you to be like just carving out a less contentious niche where you can say, you know what? I'm not an alcoholic, but that doesn't mean that alcoholism doesn't exist. Maybe let's look at this other thing that maybe some of us are, and we're not that type of person. We're not that specific thing. But again, that implies, you know, a base of knowledge that I don't think that she has, given what she said around how she's defining alcoholism, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I will do a curtsy.
That was good. I have to say, I'm surprised you didn't make the argument that I thought you were going to make. There's a lot there.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see if I can summarize it. So basically, your whole defense of Holly Whitaker, because this is in defense of Holly Whitaker, right? Is
right.
That,
I hope it came across as that.
The things that she says about AA, while they're not accurate to our knowledge of what AA is, right? Given her experience with AA of just having gone to meetings, you could hardly blame her for thinking that that's what AA is, because that is a version of AA that you are presented in meetings, which means that the fellowship that she walked into as a new person failed her. Hmm. You know, of course she's upset about that. And my impression of her is that she, unlike some other public personalities who strongly dislike AA, she's not being untruthful about it. She believes that she's telling the truth about what AA is. Mm-hmm. She just wasn't given an adequate presentation of it.
Right.
Or of what alcoholism is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Would you say that's accurate? That's your defense of her?
Yeah. And even like to kind of to double down on like that, I'm not like trying to be snarky about it. I mean, obviously I'm like shitting on her to a point. I think she's a turd, but like, the to be clear that I'm not like trying to be snarky with this, like, to her that is AA, you know. She is literally talking about the fellowship of AA. And I believe regarding the fellowship AA that calls itself AA, AA is a fellowship of men and women, whatever, or people, whatever, you know, the fucking preamble. When you're talking about the grapevine and you're talking about meetings and you're talking about that system, that group of human beings, she's right about all of it. Because
yeah,
that's what you're given there. It's like you show up to soccer lessons and they're just like, people are standing around slap boxing. They're just like, soccer's fucking weird. You know what I mean? Why would, you know, it's just like, why would you think otherwise? You'd just be like, oh yeah, soccer? I don't know. I don't know that that works for women. Women don't like slapping each other in the face. I'm just like, okay, what? You know, I'm just like, it's like, and it's less so like you can't blame her. It's more like that is true. That is fundamentally accurate about the fellowship Alcoholics Anonymous. All of that stuff.
Right.
When you put it that way, it's like she wandered into it's almost one way of thinking about it is like she walked in on free, completely unguided, community led group therapy. And yes, she had the completely original thought of like, maybe we should get someone in here with a master's degree who can lead this discussion. She's like, her hot take is like, unguided group therapy in which the person who's been here the longest seems to be in charge and is also maybe the sickest is maybe not a great way for people to get better. And she's like, I could get a therapist in charge of this thing, but it's going to cost $15 a month. And it's like, okay, that's an unremarkable take. Like, yeah, group therapy is better if it's led and if there's somebody in there who's a fucking professional. And if Daryl with 38 years who hates his wife and kids doesn't get an equal say in running the thing. For sure, I agree with you.
Right.
But that's not AA.
Right.
Right. The argument I thought you were going to make, John Barleycorn, is some of her tips and tricks might be helpful for heavy drinkers, which is good for them.
Yeah.
But you kind of took this in a different direction, and I'm glad because there's so much to talk about here. Yeah, I think I've said before on this podcast that I don't hate Holly Whitaker. I don't have animosity towards her. And part of that is because when I was desperate for help. Ted's face. Sorry, I was zoned out. I actually tried to read Quit Like a Woman. And
this is when you were trying to quit.
Yes, this was when I was in my, oh shit, I have a serious problem. I need real help. Mm. Let me deal with this the way I deal with everything by reading a giant stack of books. So this is one
this
of the
is how I learned I about to, soccer.
This is how I learned about soccer. I've read books about it. Now I'm on the women's
slap
US
boxing team.
No, I was very sensitive to certain things when I was seeking help, and I did not manage to read her book the first time around, because, you know, I got through the introduction and I was just like, this person can't help me. Because when I was seeking help, I wanted to know two things. Why am I like this? And what can I do about it? Hmm. I read just far enough to read that she was like, yeah, so I had all these problems with my drinking and then I just quit. And then I was like, oh, okay. You can't help me. Okay.
Right.
So I'll just go look somewhere else. Thanks for your time. And the other reason I didn't finish reading the book was that she seemed very much like someone with an agenda, something that I really appreciate about the way that talking to newcomers is laid out in chapter 7 of the big book is that it says, don't come across like you have an agenda. Don't have an agenda other than helping that person.
Right.
And, there's a reason for that because when you are desperate to do something about your drinking, you don't want to fucking hear from somebody who's got an axe to grind. You want somebody who's focused on helping you and can offer you like a real solution other than just, yeah, so I learned to love myself and quit drinking, you know?
Right.
So yeah.
The thing about the Holly Whitakers and the Russell Brands and everything, is I try to be, there's that line, and John, I'm sure you could tell me what it actually is and where it is, but like, we try not to like take a hardline anti-alcohol stance in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, the book is like, nobody likes a fucking teetotaler like asshole. Like, we just, we all have our own opinions about it, and we keep it to ourselves because we think Alcoholics Anonymous would be less effective if we took like a really hardline stance on drinking or whatever. That's kind of how I feel about the recovery influencers of the world. Like, it's, I'm more effective as a potential sponsor in meetings and stuff if I just don't like, even in one-on-one conversations, if somebody's reading Russell Brand's book and they're enjoying it, I'll like, I'm going to take what I'm hearing from them that sounds helpful, like, and I'll, and that's great, you know, like, I'm glad you got that piece of information out of Holly Whitaker's book, and I try to be supportive and not a dick about it. And I try, but I do have a fair amount of animosity.
Let's hear it.
Go on.
The thing that I find the most grating, and this is also probably like the most, like, the perhaps the leading with the chinniest point for me to make in the pod, as the cis heterosexual man of the group, but the notion that this person could say that not just her, but all women do not experience selfishness. This is a person who briefly attended a 75, 80 year old program that has worked for untold millions of people, had a casual intermittent relationship with it, and determined that what she would do instead is create from scratch a company, a for-profit company that she would then sell to another for-profit company, where she is the main character, from what I can gather anyway. I mean, I've been on the website, but like, that she would design her own thing. And for her to unironically be like, yeah, I mean, I don't suffer from selfishness. I don't know what this is about. I'm not a manipulator. And that everybody would, that all these people in the crowd would be nodding so enthusiastic. Like, Chrissy Teigen's out here like, you're right. This person doesn't have a selfish bone in their body. I'm like, that's crazy making to me. That's crazy making.
No ego involved here at all.
I have a surprise. I have a surprise for you. You're going to appreciate this. I brought her book, Fit Like a Woman.
Incredible.
Because I guess this is what I do now. When you put a book in my hands, I marked it up and like read it.
You're a mucker. A mucker through and through.
Yeah, you guys do it because you like the big book. I do it just because, like, I don't know, it's just an impulse. You put a pen and a book in my hand and I just mark it up. So to your point, Ted, about her not being selfish, let me read you a portion of her book.
I'm so excited right now.
If you think she sounds like a selfish person. Okay, this is page 13 towards the bottom. Quit Like a Woman. One Saturday night during my freshman year of college, drunk and high on meth, but let's say cocaine because that sounds better, I was walking with my best friend's boyfriend in between parties in San Luis. I can't pronounce
San Luis Obispo.
There we go. Thank you. And we kissed each other. I'll spare you the details, but I will tell you about the part that matters, which is, anybody want to guess how she completes the sentence?
Okay, wait. So she's drunk, and she's high on meth, but saying it's coke because she thinks it sounds cooler. And
she's making out with her best friend's boyfriend.
And then what was the last line?
The important part of this story is,
ooh, she embarrassed herself.
All of her friends found out and were upset with her. I was cut off at the knees from everything I cared about, everyone I cared about, and whatever minute fraction of self-esteem I might have had before the incident. I left town with a deficit of self-worth that was the size of me. And for the next 5 years, I took it upon myself to warn whatever new friends I made about what I'd done, like a sex offender moving into a new neighborhood. Yeah, no selfishness there, right? All good.
Just astonishingly self-involved.
Maybe it seems like a trivial affair. Maybe not trivial to the best friend that she betrayed by making out with, possibly doing more with her boyfriend, right?
So you're about to go into the part where she apologizes to her best friend sincerely?
No, she's the victim of this story. You'd be incorrect about that, okay. John Barleycorn.
Okay, wow.
Women are oppressed, and oppressed people never do anything bad.
Fuck. Hang on, let me write that down.
Keep up, man.
Let me set a reminder in my phone on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of stories like this in her book. Like, she admits to doing something that's, like, kind of low-key shitty. And then she's like, but I'm the real victim here, and let me tell you why. She really comes off as an unsympathetic character in her book, and I can't tell whether she has any self-awareness about it.
I think I have a guess.
I think part of the thing that upsets me is it's like that style of the writing, which I hadn't ever read before. I'll cop to that. Like, I'm not a Holly Whitaker aficionado, but I'm like, that to me drips with the kind of like smarmy self-centeredness that I, in my core, that's like something that I would write if I could write well.
Millennial live journal writing.
Yeah, I would aspire to that level of ability. She's much more talented than I am, but that's exactly the tone I would want to strike, which is just like, like, that is my internal condition, so at my worst. So I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. It's like maybe too familiar to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not selfish. And so that's probably why I get
That's
her.
Probably why you're locking in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you also the victim of every bad thing you've ever done? Excuse me. No. This was done to her. She was slut shamed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Victim shame. Yeah.
Victim shame.
Victim blaming there. Yeah, that's. You know, this falls into an interesting category for me. There's a sort of universal truth that I always find inherent to the relationships that I find like most enjoyable. And that is that, like, when I really fuck with someone, when I really vibe with them, when I like love listening to someone talk, they're never a person where, like, they're always the cool guy in their stories. Like, it's always people where 8 times out of 10, they're the fucking bonehead in the story. Like, listen to this dumb thing I did. Like, isn't that funny? And they can laugh at themselves, and they're aware of, like, how that affected people around them, and they're very empathetic toward those people looking at them in a certain way, and like, the stories are like that. The stories are never, like, very rarely centered around, like, you know, I was dumped on, and like, these people did this, and then like, but eventually I got one over on, you know what I mean? It's that kind of fucking vibe.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing I noticed, to your point about selfishness, is that in her book, she does a lot of bragging. It's like, and she just, it's almost like reflexive. Like, she starts to introduce a new concept, and then she spends a paragraph like talking about the weekend she spent in Tahiti banging a helicopter pilot or whatever.
Nice.
On a very special A team.
Here we go. Right. I'd been doing yoga for a decade. I ate kale before kale was kale. I had done the master cleanse and all the other cleanses. I was vegetarian. I had been to Esalen, where Don Draper goes to find himself on the season finale of Mad Men and cries in a circle with rich white people. She's not one of them, by the way, who alternately wear business suits and caftans. I own lots of Ditch Not Han books. I guess that's how you pronounce that. Yeah, R.I.P. I just, reading this, I find this like very, I'm like, how, what, okay, I get that you're very wealthy and successful and you have a 26-inch waist. I don't understand what this has to do with my drinking.
Yeah, there's, and there, one thing in that you sort of gave a little extra oomph to is the constantly blaming white people who are not her, where it's like, it's like, white people aren't white people the worst, but not me. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I also feel that way.
I don't feel too dissimilar. You know, I live in a country where like 90 million natives were, you know, unhoused and genocided. Right. Like, I get it. And I, like, fuck with that sentiment. But, like, there's, to Ted's point earlier, like, there's a little twist of the knife of that insincerity in that tone of writing and tone of speaking that she does often, that is like disassociating herself from the onus of whiteness, where it's like, I'm not, like, I don't feel like you are connected, like, with the culture that needs to be separating itself from whiteness. It feels like you are very much a white person who is trying to disassociate yourself from whiteness and blame whiteness for things. And it's like just another onion layer of like cringe and like discomfort that I feel when I'm listening to her talk.
Sure. And as far as women go, you know, she's not a coal miner's wife in West Virginia, right? She is, by her own admission, someone who, you know, lives on the West Coast, has this very glamorous life that she talks about constantly, has every advantage. So yeah, when she says I'm too oppressed to be selfish, or I'm so oppressed that all I've ever been is broken down, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm convinced in your case.
Right.
It's like a very elaborate, like that. I know this is just an AA saying that is not, and I hate AA sayings too, but like the whole, if the world is the problem, then I'm fucked sort of situation. Like if all of this stuff out here is the problem, and then I'm never going to get better. Right. And how it seems to me that her kind of view here is like everything out there is fucked. But I can solve it for myself using these tips and tricks. It's like when you're on a website, I think it's probably usually porn, but I don't want to commit myself to that. And they have the little clickbait ads where they're like, doctors hate him because he's figured out how to get a 10-foot penis without any help from any doctors. It's like that, but for recovery, where Holly Whitaker is like the Alcoholics Anonymous hates her because she's figured out how to fix the world via her own self-will, and you don't have to do anything.
Right.
You don't have to do any of the shit that they say you do. It's only $15 a month. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the, like, Google, I mean, I don't, she's kind of just a, I wouldn't even say she's a blip on the radar anymore. Like, I don't ever see Google News things about her. It's just, it's like when she pops up, like when she popped up in that 13-step thing. It was just like, it is like a pop-up ad. It's just like, oh, here she is to shit on AA to hawk her fucking book again. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, all right. It is kind of like, doctors hate him for this one simple trick.
One simple trick.
Right, yeah. Her 10-foot penis is this hacky fucking memoir she wrote, I guess.
It's not. There are times when I'm like, none of this matters, because just like Jane's experience, where I'm like, maybe this is just one of the dead ends that a real alcoholic needs to go down. Mm-hmm. Right? I had my own version. I had many of my own versions of this, and maybe this is just another one. And this is just a creative way for this particular person to make a living and good, right? Like, okay, I'll spend some time paying this monthly fee and I'll keep drinking, and it will lead me to Alcoholics Anonymous and ultimately God. And if that's the case, then like, okay, whatever, that's cool. But when I get really up on my high horse, which I'm about to be, I'm like, but people are going to die. There are going to be some number of people who don't ever bust out of that, who just like have online subscriptions, and then they, you know, I've had two friends in the last 3-4 months die. 29-year-olds dead. And it's like, you don't have a ton of time. Mm-hmm. And so to waste it, like for a real alcoholic to waste it, is a little freaky. But again, that's super melodrama and I'm going to back off of it now. But
well, yeah, I sensed that I was running out of time by the time I picked up this book. And it's why I didn't read past the introduction at that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the reason, and I read a lot of anti-AA books. I read Gabrielle Glaser, who's very anti-AA. I read, I think her name is Annie Grace. She wrote This Naked Mind. I read that book. They all made very passionate arguments against going to AA. The reason I went was because I posted this like desperate cry for help anonymously on fucking Reddit of all places. And somebody reached out to me and she was just like, tell me about your drinking. And I did. She listened without judgment. And then she was like, yeah, I relate to a lot of that. I'm a mom like you, and this is what my drinking looked like. And, you know, here's what happened when it got worse. And then, you know, I was really locked in. I was like, well, so what did you do? How did you quit? And she was like, I got sober in AA. It was like a pitch perfect chapter 7 first conversation with a newcomer. Could not have been better.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know that at the time. I was just like, you know, well, fuck me. I don't want to go to AA. And she was, you know, kind and reassuring. She was like, it's your life. Do what you want. This is just what helped me. Hmm. I would encourage you to give it a shot. What if you got to lose?
Love
what
that.
I got from that conversation is, you know, I had been reading all this anti-AA stuff. You're going to get raped if you go to AA. AA doesn't work for women. They're just going to beat you down and tell you that you have an ego problem. They're going to make you get Jesus, right?
Mm.
I had a very sane conversation with this woman, and I could feel that she was only motivated by a desire to help me, right? Mm. That was all that she wanted from the conversation. And she didn't go on about Jesus, and she didn't act like a crazy person or like tell me about my ego, right?
Mm.
And so then when people would say like AA is an insane place, don't go, I'd be like, I don't know. I spoke to someone who said she was from AA and she kind of made a good case for it. So, I mean, at the end of the day, as long as you have recovered people out there talking to suffering alcoholics, the Holly Whitakers of the world can say whatever they want to, right?
Mm, yeah.
Preach.
I mean, there's like, it's the scales, you know, there's the balance, you know, because it's like, I think it's the sauce we've all been lost in at some point or another, where you're kind of thinking like, there is a non-zero chance that someone at the wrong moment will hear this pitch and fail at that because they actually need a program of action, and then they'll die. Like, there's a non-zero chance. But there's also a non-zero chance that people will come to me or you or you and get presented exactly the approach that you just described and maybe even start the steps, maybe even get through the steps and fucking die because they don't actually like do the thing and they don't follow through with it. They don't turn it into a lifestyle. They don't throw themselves into it. And then, you know, I'm not a fucking zealot or like a nutcase, so I'm not going to say that like even if they do all of that and throw themselves into it that they won't die. I don't know. There's, you know, maybe that's on offer too. Maybe that's an option. I have no idea. Maybe you've got other stuff going on, other issues that are not tended to. I don't know. You know, I'm sure that happens too. I think only a zealot would say that like AA is going to work. The 12 steps will work 100% of the time for 100% of the people, you know. That being said, there's a fucking long train of hundreds of people that the three of us have approached like that, have had conversations with, and all of the ones who have just like done the stuff with like no bullshit, surrendered, done it, they recovered. So it's like every person who didn't recover, I can look at and I can see like, okay, well, on this approach, they were floundering here. On this approach, they didn't surrender that. They did, you know, they just don't do it, right? So I can really look at that and I can see that there is a set of actions and that when they're completed to fruition, the result is produced. And when they're not, it's not. And it's like, there's no blame involved in that. It's just, here's the thing. You do it or you don't do it, you know? And for me, that's the big piece that you were talking about is like, what's wrong with me? What do I do? You know, right. And I think you could certainly make the case of that's not at all what's being presented by Holly Whitaker.
No, what I read in the introduction was a bunch of stuff about Holly Whitaker, which, you know, as I've said before, anyone can write a recovery memoir. I just, yeah, certainly not helpful to someone who's just unable to stop drinking.
Right.
I watched a couple interviews today with her where she did sort of, I don't know if this is like a programmatic change in her tone or if this was just like a one-off, but it was like, her pitch that I heard today was like, not all of us are alcoholics, but we have to find a way to work in this world, and like we have to exist near alcohol, and we have to try to be happy and you know, live our lives. And for those of us who aren't alcoholics, you know, that doesn't mean don't try to improve your life. That doesn't mean don't look at this stuff. And to me, like, that is like pitch perfect. It's like, yeah, if like this slice of the pie of people who are in AA and shouldn't be, who are in AA for lack of options, who are just dissatisfied, restless, irritable, and discontented, but it doesn't manifest itself in this way that's full-blown alcoholism, I would love it if they would go somewhere else. Yeah. And I would, and it, Holly Whitaker's thing is just as good as any. And like, that makes perfect sense to me, because I agree, everybody is spiritual, like, especially today, like the world today is, we are spiritual beings trying to function in a non-spiritual world, like in a non-spiritual system. And so to the extent you need a leg up and some help with that, get after it. Like, yeah, fuck yeah, brother, you should do it. But it's just that when she's, or anyone is punching down on this thing that I've made my, like a big part of my life, right? Like, saved my life. When people are just punching down on it, and particularly for having had no meaningful personal experience with it, it's just very, very challenging for me.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, I think I agree with you. She does make a good point when she says, and she says this in your book, she says, you don't have to identify as an alcoholic to quit drinking, right?
Yeah.
She says,
amen.
If you're getting tripped up on that question, if you're just tired of being hungover, if you just feel like I've woken up in a few too many strange beds, I don't think this is good for me, you don't have to call yourself an alcoholic to quit drinking. Great point. Yeah. Same point could be made about sugar, right? You don't have to be a diabetic to quit eating sugar. It's probably not good for you. Yeah. Great. Where I take an issue with her is where she then goes on to say, alcoholism isn't real.
Right.
Which was confusing to me.
Which is why you don't have to call yourself one.
Right.
It's not a real thing.
It's a little bit like saying everyone should stop eating sugar, so then there's no such thing as diabetes.
Right.
And then she says, like, she goes on to make the point, alcohol dependency is real, alcoholism isn't real. She then goes on to describe what happens to people neurologically so that they can't will themselves to quit drinking. And then I'm like, so it's like you've basically said diabetes isn't real, insulin resistance is real, diabetes isn't real. But, you know, some people, you know, fat is metabolically active. Sometimes it interferes with your ability to respond to insulin, and then you just can't tolerate sugar. Diabetes isn't real. And I'm just like, you have described diabetes. Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about?
I love that you're doing an analogy that actually makes sense, as opposed to my, like, canned herring or, like, fucking slap boxing metaphors that I'm always doing.
They're all good metaphors.
So
diabetes is stigmatizing. Don't get your insulin checked.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think I did it. I think I defended Holly Whitaker.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
That was a lot kinder than I thought it would be.
I'm not gonna choose somebody and then not follow through. I'm turning a new leaf.
What is
all right?
Is there anything in her books, Jane, about God? Is it a godless thing?
Yes. No, she. I think it's interesting because most people are put off of AA because they're like, I can't do the God thing. She quite honestly talks about like a moment where she just like, I got on my knees and begged to God to like take this away from me. She doesn't have a problem with the God thing, although she does say later in the book, like, oh man, now I wish I had bookmarked it. But she says, like, the idea of God in AA is straight out of 1939. You have to accept this version of God. There's no other way. And I don't know.
So,
I think
so
that's actually
profoundly
not
inaccurate.
True. Yeah. She says a couple of things about AA where I'm like, either you didn't do your research, or because this is like, even if you'd gone to a meeting, you would have heard this.
Right.
Like, that's one of them. I think going into any meeting, you hear that it's a God of your understanding, right? She also, when she cites the big book, she puts it in italics as if that's the title. Like, are you aware that?
Yeah, that was something on that 13-step podcast where they, it was in the episode with her where they quote the big book and it's the 12 and 12 that they're quoting.
Yeah. There are a lot of little mistakes like this in this book where I'm like, I think that in pursuit of this idea that you're very passionate about, you maybe skipped some of the important research. And it's basic research. It's, if you had hired a fact checker, you would have caught these.
Bingo.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fact checkers cost money. I'm trying to make money here.
I'm too oppressed to spend money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I know. I feel good about this. I feel like I defended her.
All right. Good job. That,
well played.
That was very big of you.
Very big of me.
I can't wait for her to be a guest on the pod now. We've cleared the air.
I think we should shoot for it.
Someone should send this episode to her.
God.
What I've found historically is that women love it when men explain things to them.
Yeah.
Especially things that they've already written a lot about. Mm-hmm. And so I do look forward to hearing from Holly that I've changed her mind.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on my show. And I hope to hear from you again sometime. Maybe we'll have you on again.
We'll look at it. We'll see if we can fit you in, John.
Yeah.
Assuming I'm interested, that would be cool.
Nice.
Awesome.
This has been a podcast Greater Than Yourself.
A podcast Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.